Okay, we're starting here on the Mishnah, on the bottom, Nun Bet Amud Bet. Mishnah says, Chamor Yotze Bimardat. A chamor can go out with it's a large saddle blanket that goes across the entire back. Zman Shik Shurabo, as long as it's tied to the animal. Zacharim Yotzim Libuvim. Zacharim can go out coupled, paired. Rechelot Yotzot Shechuzot, exposed. Kvulot is tied down. Ukvunot is covered. They'll all be discussed. Each of these issues will be discussed in the Gemara. Haizim Yotzot Tsurorot. Tsurorot means tied up. Here it's talking about the udders of the goats, that they tied them up. We'll see in the Gemara, sometimes they tied them up to stop them from nursing, to dry up their udders. Other times they cover them to protect the udders. Other times they cover them to protect the milk in the udders. Rabbi Yossi Oser B'Kulan, Rabbi Yossi says, none of these are permitted. Chutz min arichelim hakvunot. That's the only thing that is permitted. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ezim yotzot tzururot liyabesh avil lechalev. You can send them out covered in order to dry them out, because then they would tie them on much tighter, and there isn't a risk that it would fall off. Avalol lechalev, because those types of covers aren't as tight, and since they're loose, there's a fear that they will slip off, and then you'll come to carry them in Reshut HaRabim. So Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says the qualification on the Mishnah about the Mardat is V'hu Shekshur Lo Me'erev Shabbat. It has to be tied on to the donkey from prior to Shabbat. Amar Rav Nachman, Matnita Nami Deika, can be Medayek this out of our Mishnah, Diktani. And the Mishnah says, Eina Chamor Yotze B'Mardat B'Zman She'ena Kshura Lo. So that's the opposite of our Mishnah. It's the next Mishnah which says what you can't do. What you can't do is have this mardat that is not tied on. So Eichi Dami, what's the case? Ilei Mishena Kshura Lo Klal. It's not tied on at all. Pshita. It's clear that you could not do that on Shabbat. Dilma Noflole. Va'atele Etuye. It'll fall off the back of the donkey. If that's the case, you'll come to carry it. Alav Mishena Kshura Me'er Shabbat. It's not tied on from Erev Shabbat. Michlal. From there you could conclude that the Reisha Kshura Lo Me'er Shabbat Shmamina. The case in our Mishnah must be a time when it was tied on, even from Erev Shabbat. So it has to be tied on before Shabbat. As Tosafot points out, Rashi explains why that is. Because if it was Kshurim Erev Shabbat, to have a Malbush HaChamur. That it becomes like the clothing of the Chamur when it's already tied onto it. But if you go to tie it on Shabbat itself, then it becomes either a Masui, feels like a Masui because it wasn't on before, it's not clothed. Or it looks like he's going to carry the Mardat. The donkey doesn't need it. You're trying to move the mardat from one location to the other. That's why you're putting it on Shabbat. Otherwise, you would have put it on the donkey before Shabbat. Or it looks like you're trying to travel to a long distance on Shabbat itself. There are all these reasons where putting it on Shabbat itself would be problematic versus Erev Shabbat. So now the Gemara continues. Tanya Nami Ochi, we have a braita that supports this. Chamor yotze b'mardat b'zman shekshur lo me'erev Shabbat. So chamor can go out, donkey can go out with this mardat, as long as it was tied on Me'erev Shabbat, v'lo ba'okef, afal pi shekshur lo Me'erev Shabbat, but with the saddle, smaller saddle, usually used to hold on the loads on the back of the donkey, that you can't put on the back of the donkey, even if it was tied on Me'erev Shabbat. Shem gomil omer af ba'okef, v'zman shekshur lo Me'erev Shabbat, you can go out with the okef as long as it's tied on Me'erev Shabbat, uvad. But the conditions on that are, shelo yekshur lo masrichan, as long as you do not fasten it around the head and around the tail. By fastening it to the front and the back, then you are supporting the okef to keep it in place. And that's only done when it has a load on it. When it has a load on the back, what you're afraid of is that it will slide forward or slide backwards. So therefore you tie it, fasten it around the tail, and you fasten it around the neck. That way the okef can't move around. It won't slide forward when it's going downhill, won't slide back when it's going uphill. Obviously, on Shabbat, that's not relevant at all. If you want to have the okif on, that's fine. But to have it fastened that way, that's only done for loads, and that's clearly not allowed on Shabbat, and it will be considered to be a masui if you have it on. V'amine Rav Asi bar Natan mi Rabchia bar Rav Ashi. Ma'u litein mardat agabi chamor b'Shabbat. Are you permitted to put a saddle on a donkey on Shabbat? Now, this is not a question in terms of taking it out to Reshut HaRabim. We already clarified that our Mishnah said you have to have it tied on Me'erev Shabbat. What we're talking about here is in the chatzer, in the courtyard, in the local courtyard, where it's not a problem of masui, of carrying. It's a question of mukseh. Is he allowed to move the mardat? Is he allowed to place the mardat in the back of the donkey? So amalei mutar, so that's fine. If you want to put the blanket, that large saddle on the donkey, you can do it. Amalei v'chima ben zelo okif. What's the difference between this and the regular saddle, the okef, which is muksa? Ishtik, he didn't respond. Now, when he was silent, Rav Asi Bar Natan thought that Rav Chir Ba'ashi thought that they were both mutar, and that's why he was silent. So therefore, now he brings a braita that supports his position. It says, Eitve, okef, Shagabi chamor lo yitaltalena biyado. If you have this saddle on the back of the donkey, you may not take it off straightforwardly with your hands. Ela molicho mevia b'chatzer. You walk it around the chatzer. Who nofel me'elav? It falls off by itself. So hashta litol amar t'lo. Over there, it's clear you can't take it off because it's mukse. La'aniach miboy. Place it on, but hand place it on at the place on the back donkey. What's the question? Again, his assumption was that he was silent because he thought it was mutar, both by the mardat and by the okif. He's bringing a brayta that's showing that the okif is clearly mukse. So amale Rabbi Zeira, shavke rabbi svirale. Leave him alone. He holds like his rebbe. His position follows that of his rebbe. Damar Rav Chiya Barashi amar Rav. His rebbe being Rav. So he's following the position of Rav, which is tolin traskal lebehema bishabbat. One is allowed to tie a feeding basket around the neck of the animal on Shabbat. V'kal v'chomer l'mardat. And certainly one could put on a mardat. U'mahato mishum ta'anug shari. Over there, it's just a pleasure for the animal. It's not a necessity for the animal. The animal could, if you put the feed down on the floor, or you put it in the trough, it could bend over and eat it. All you're doing is making it easier. You're putting on the basket right there so it can eat without having to bend over. That's a tanug, and there we say it's still mutar on Shabbat. It's not considered to be problematic. Here with the mardat, where it's painful for the animal, painful because the animal will be cold without it. It keeps it warm. So there, certainly, it should be allowed. If Rav allows you to put the feeding basket around the neck, then certainly he would let you put on this mardat.
The
mardat
is a blanket.
It's a blanket. It's a large blanket, but they use it to ride on it. Yeah, exactly. It has multiple uses, which is that it's a large blanket that goes across the back of the donkey. You use it if you were to ride the donkey also, but the donkey likes it anyway because of the heat that it provides. Shmuel Amar, mardat mutar, traskal asur. Shmuel says that your mardat, the blanket you can put on, the traskal is asur, but the feeding basket you may not put around the neck. Azar Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, Amr l'shmaita d'Rav kameh d'Shmuel. He told over Shmuel what Rav had said with regards to the feeding basket. Obviously, they agree by the mardat. It's the feeding basket where they disagree. Amar Abba l'yada mile d'shabta v'lo klum. Says that that's what Rav said. He doesn't know Hilchot Shabbat at all. Abba is a reference to Rav. Over here, Rashi says that it's Abba because Chaveirai. Then it says, my good friend, that's why he's calling him Abba. In other places, Rashi says that Abba is term of respect, like Rebbe or Abba. So that's why Rav had that title of Abba. Over here, because Shmuel is his peer, or quasi-peer, he's translating it as Abba being my friend. When Rabbi Zeira went up to Eretz Yisrael, he found Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefet de Yati v'kamerli mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan. He was saying in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, notim mardat agavei chamor b'shabbat. Amalei yeyasher. Like, yeah, share kochacha. It's good. B'chein targama aryoch b'bavel. So too, aryoch said this like you in Bavel. And the Gemara says, aryoch manu. Who's aryoch? That's Shmuel. So Rashi explains why aryoch is Shmuel. Because he says, Shmuel kari aryoch, Hashem she abaki b'dinim, shofet kamelech. He's an expert in dinim, and he used to judge, adjudicate like a king. And that's the principle that we have when it's Rav and Shmuel, that Allah is kishmuel b'dinei, and then Allah Kirab be Isure. So Shmuel has the upper hand when it comes to Dine, when it comes to issues of adjudication. Tosafot says that Aryoch is the name of a king. The example is in Breshit, Aryoch Melech Elasar is one of the kings in the battle of the four and the five kings. Vinakte Tve Mishar Melachim. So why do you mention that? Instead of all kings, Lefish Muvla Bolashon Ari. It has the word Ari in it, which means a lion, a strong king. So that's who Shmuel was. Umar says, Baha Rav Nami Amra. Why did he say that Shmuel said it like you? Rav also says that putting a mardat on the back of the chamor is permissible. Why did he only mention that Shmuel is the one? Ela shamei dava misayim be. He heard him concluding vein tolin traskal b'shabbat. And then he says amalei yasher chein targama aryoch b'bavel. That only Shmuel agrees to. Rav says that even the traskal you're allowed to put on Shabbat. So here when he said yes to the mardat, no to the traskal, that was according to the position of Shmuel. So Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel agree. And that's what Tosafot points out over here. Generally, when we have halacha, Rav and Shmuel be isurei halacha kirav. But here, because Rabbi Yochanan agrees with Shmuel, comes to Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, halacha ke Rabbi Yochanan. Plus, you have Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel on the same side. So here we're going to pass on the halacha like Shmuel, not like Rav. The kuliyama miat mardat mutar. Clear that everybody believes that you can put the mardat on the back of the donkey. Maishna meokef. Why is that different than the saddle that we're talking about, the smaller saddle? Shani hotom. De'efshar denofio memelo. So one answer is that you can get it off the back. The okef you can't carry it. We're not going to allow you to engage with the muksa because you have an alternative. The alternative is to have it walk around and have it fall off. So that we'll allow you to do on Shabbat because you can do tiltol min atzad in a sense. You allow it to fall off. So we're not going to allow you to directly take it off. On the other hand, the mardat, to place it on the donkey, you can't do it. The only way to do it is to put it onto the donkey itself. That's one answer. The difference is why you would engage with these items. The reason that you put a mardat on is to warm the animal. The reason that you want to take the okif off is because you want to cool the animal down. He had the okif on mibaojom. While it was still daytime, he didn't load. And now he's still hot from carrying that load, and you want to get the okif off to cool him down. To warm it up, the donkey, we'll call it, is in pain, is in difficulty because it's cold. To heat it up is, we call it tsar balei chayim, protects the animal from being cold. On the other hand, to cool it off, that's not called tsar. Being hot or too hot is not a tsar. That's true by a donkey because, this is the colloquialism, this is the saying that people have, chamra afilu b'tkuvat tamuz k'rirei. That a donkey, even in the summer solstice, is cold. The nature of the donkey is to always be cold, not to be hot. So therefore, if it's an issue of cooling it off, it naturally cools off. We're not going to pay so much heed to that and allow you to engage with the okif. If you want, you can walk it around until it falls off. But eventually it'll cool itself down with a coolness. Or when it's cold, that you need to actively intervene because it will not heat itself up. It will not be able to keep itself warm. So meitave, lo yitzei asus bizanav shu'al. Velo be argamar has zaharurit. The Masorat Tashas brings down that it could be zihorit sheben einav. A horse can't go out with a tail of a fox hanging between its eyes. Rashi says it's to ward off the ayin hara, and not with a red string that he says is decorative. That was before the modern day, where that was also to ward off the evil eye. But they have a red string between the eyes. Both of those are not allowed. Lo yitzei hazav bikish shelo. Hazav who's having emissions may now go out with a cover or a cup of some sort to check on how many emissions he's having. Lo yizim bikish shibadadehem. And the goats with a cover over their udders. Velo parab chasum shibipia. And not the cow with the muzzle on its mouth. Velo sayachim bitraskalim shibihim. And not the foals, the young horses, with the basket tied around their necks. The reshut haribim. That's not allowed to reshut haribim. Velo behema besandal shibergalea. An animal not with the, what we call a horseshoe on the foot. Velo bikmia. And not with an amulet, even though the person who wrote the amulet is an expert, and we're going to see later on in the Gemara, by humans, to wear an amulet is only allowed on Shabbat if it's done by an expert. Expert being defined as he wrote three amulets and cured people with those amulets, so then it's permissible to wear it, otherwise it's not permissible. And these are chumrot by the ema from man. With some sort of bandage over the wound. And with the equivalent of a cast, pieces of wood that hold the leg or arm in place when it's broken, or an afterbirth placenta that is half hanging out, and you can plug the bell that is around its neck, and you can walk around with it in the chatzer. So all of these items, in terms of the sus with the zanav shual, that is problematic because we're going to see, as the Gemara says, that we don't allow anything for amulets, ayin hara. That is not allowed to be worn by the animal on Shabbat. That's considered to be a masui. Same thing with the red string, the crimson string that one puts between the eyes, that's considered to be decorative, and that is a masui. The zav b'kishelo, that the problem is that he's using it, he wants it there to capture the emission. So therefore, it's melacha shetzricha legufa. It's not a piece of clothing, he's not wearing it as a piece of clothing, he's wearing it simply to catch the liquid that's coming out. And that is problematic. Izim cannot go out with the kish shibadadayam, they can't go out with the cover on the udders. Rashi claims that the problem here is that there's going to be milk captured in the covers, and therefore it's going to be carrying. Tosafot doesn't necessarily agree with that. He thinks that there are other issues in terms of whether it's rubbing its udders against the ground or protecting it from injuring the udders. Velo parah chashum b'fiyah, with the muzzle on its mouth, because he might come to take it off. And sayachim b'traskalim b'fiyah in the reshut harabim, because again, These are loose items that can come off and are unnecessary. Now, the horseshoe, you're not allowed to put on because it might come off, and then you're going to carry it. Obviously, it's not like the horseshoes today where they were fastened in a way that they don't come off. You don't have these issues. And the amulet, again, we're going to see in a second, is that because we don't deal with issues of ayin hara and mazal with regards to behema. The other items, like the bandage, which is disgusting. If it fell off the animal, nobody would pick that up. Therefore, you don't have to worry about it. And obviously the boards to hold the leg in place, we assume that's going to stay there and they're necessary to be there. So we'll allow it to walk around with those. Is because that's a natural part of the animal. It's not considered to be carrying. The bell, when you plug it, you're allowed to walk it around the chatzer, because that's the bell is normally what's worn by it. You may not plug it and take it out to Rishut HaRabim, because that looks like you're taking it out to the shuk to sell it. It was the advertisement for the animal when the bell was ringing. And therefore, even if you plug the bell, you may not take it out to the Rishut HaRabim with the bell around its neck. So Gemara says, "Ktani mi'ah, v'lo sayachin b'traskalim shebeviyem l'Rishut HaRabim." Said over here that the foals, the young horses, may not be taken out into the Rishut HaRabim with these baskets around their necks. But that's only true to the Rishut HaRabim. Rishut HaRabim u'dolo ha'b'chatzer shaper dami. That means within the courtyard it was fine. That's a machloket Rav and Shmuel before. Rav said, you're allowed to put a traskal around the neck of the behema. Shmuel said, you're not allowed to do that. And we said before, we're talking about there in the chatzer. So over here, you could be medayek from this braito, that that is the case, that by a traskal, the only problem is in Rishut HaRabim, but chatzer would be fine. So my lav, bigdolim, kumshum tanuk. We're talking about older foals, who it would be just as easy for them to bend down and eat from the ground as it is for them to eat with the basket up above. If that's the case, it's simply tanuk. Yet, we still allow it. So Mar says, lo, biktanim. We're talking about very young foals. Umisham tsar. And it's because of the pain that they face. Foals, when they're first born, as Rashi points out, their legs are a lot longer than their necks. And so it's very hard for them to bend down. They have trouble steadying themselves, standing up. If you've ever seen a new foal that's born, they have trouble steadying themselves and keeping themselves upright and bending down. So therefore, you put the basket on there to make it possible for them to eat. It would be very difficult for them to eat if you didn't put the basket over there. So they're referring to tsar. Shmuel agreed when it came to tsar, you're allowed to do something like the mardat, to put on the back of the donkey, that you're allowed to do. But when it comes to something like tanug, pleasure, he disagreed. So we've changed the braita. The diuk of the braita was originally that tanug was allowed. Now we're saying, no, tanug's not allowed, but it is tsar, and that's why it works. Dekanami, I give you daif that from the braita, diktani, dumya, dekamiya. It's similar to the kamiya that was around the donkey's neck, shmamina. Because what do you put an amulet on for? You don't put an amulet on for tanug, you put an amulet on for tsar, for choli, for being sick. You want to cure the animal from its sickness. So too over here, the traskal, the basket's putting around his neck for tsar, not for tanug. You may not put an amulet around the animal's neck in order to protect it, even if it comes from an expert. Where it says, wait a minute, we have a Mishnah later on, you cannot wear an amulet that does not come from an expert. This time we had a man, human. If he was an expert, you were allowed to put it on. Where it says, now we're talking about a case here where the amulet came from not an expert. Where it says, how can you say that? The bright thing says explicitly, even though it came from a mumche, from an expert. So Magar says, mumche la'adam, veinu mumche la'beima. He is expert. He's cured people before. So his amulets are efficacious with regards to people, but he's not necessarily a mumche for beima. Magar says, umi ika mumche la'adam, lovi mumche la'beima. So such a concept that a person can write amulets that help people and don't help out animals. Magar says, yeah, that's the case. Adam di le mazlo misayile. Person who is governed by mazel, then the amulets can help him out. Behema delet le mazlo, that's not governed by mazlo, lo misayela, that won't help it. So it could be that a person could write amulets that help intercede for people, because it can reverse, change, or block against the mazlo, against what would be the constellations, or whatever would be the natural course of a person's destiny. Whereas by behema, that since they don't have that, intervening may not work. So therefore there is such a concept that a person can write amulets that help people, but don't help out animals. If that's the case, didn't the braita conclude, my ze chumr bi behema mi ba'adam? Didn't we say that a behema has chumrot here that don't apply to a person, and we thought that referred to the kameya, to the amulet, whereas the human, a person could wear an amulet and a behema could not. Mar says, misavat akumi akoi, you thought it was referring to the amulet, a sandalka, it's referring to the sandal, the shoe. Meaning that a person could walk out with the shoe on Shabbat, because that's considered to be clothing. The animal may not walk out with the shoe on Shabbat, not because it's not clothing or it's not helpful, but because it might slip off. It wasn't put on properly, it wasn't attached, fixed properly, and therefore, we might come to carry it on Shabbat. If it's affixed properly, it's a part of the hoof, and it's not going to come off, that's not going to be a problem on Shabbat. Tashma, sechin umifarkasim la'adam. One can anoint a wound, put oil or something on a wound, umifarkasim, and one can scrape off a scab that is bothering a person, la'adam. You can do that for a person, vein sechin umifarkasim la'be'ima, but you may not do that for an animal. My love, de'ika mako, even though there is a wound on the animal, umishum tsar, and the animal's in pain, but you're still not allowed to do it. And that would be a question both on Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel both said you're allowed to do things that are mishum tsar for the animal. Over here, it's impermissible, even though there's tsar. When it says, lo, the gamar maka, umishum tanug. The wound is really healed. It's the tail end of the wound. It's just a scab there, so it's a little bit of discomfort. It's something that would make it happier if it wasn't there. So that, we say you're not allowed to scrape off. So that will turn out to be a position that is helpful to Shmuel now, because Shmuel says, Tanug, no, Tsar, yes. For Rav, it would still be a problem, because Rav says, even Tanug, even putting the basket around the neck, is permissible. And here too, we would want him to say that it is permissible. So for Rav, this explanation will be difficult. In the end, Rashi says, is Tanu Paliku. Rav has a status in some places like a Tano, and therefore we leave it as not being a problem for Rav. We have this Braita here, we had the Braita before, and we're going to have a couple more Braita that seem to argue with Rav's position, and the Gemara leaves them all in place and doesn't say anything. So Rashi says, Rav Tano Upoli. The Rav has the status of Tano, and therefore the Gemara is okay leaving these Braita as being difficult for Rav. So Tashma, Beima Shachzad Dam. It has some sort of congestion, blockage of blood. Ein Mamidin Nota B'mayim B'shvil Shetitztanein. We don't put it or stand it in cold water to cool off. Adam shachzo dam, if a human has the same condition, a person has the same condition, we put him in cold water in order that he cools off, and that resolves the issue. So Amar Ula Gzeira Mishul Mishkikat Simamanim. The reason that we do this is because we're afraid of crushing of the herbs. In order to make the medicines in their day, they did it in a pestle and a mortar. They used to crush the item down, which is a malacha del raita. So, in general, on Shabbat, we prohibit all types of medicinal cures or getting engaged with anything that's medicinal because of this gzeirav shkigat mamanim, which is that we are afraid that you will come to make the medicine on Shabbat. So the reason you're not allowed to do this for the behema, the refuah for the behema, is because you might come then to get engaged with medicine. It says, yochi adam nami. Why don't you say the same thing by a person? Why do you permit it by a person? Adam nira kamekar. That's not a problem. A person who goes into cold water on Shabbat looks like he's cooling himself off. It doesn't necessarily have to be for refuah, for medical reasons. He could go into the water for medical reasons. He could go in the water to cool himself off. You see him in the water, it's not definitive that he's doing it for medicinal reasons. So say the same thing by an animal. When it goes to cool itself off, it's fine. Ein mekar lebehema. The Gemara says that there is no cooling off by an animal. People don't stick animals into cold water in order to cool them off. Therefore, if you find an animal in cold water, the only reason it would be there is for medicinal reasons, and therefore it's definitive. If you see the animal in the water, it's medicinal. If that's the case, then we have a problem of shkikat mamanim, where goes there in that case. The Gemara says, l'beima migas rinan. Are we goes there in terms of medicinal issues by animals? Batanya, haita umedet chutz l'tchum. When it comes to an animal that's outside of the tchum, horil avihi ba'a. You can call the animal and it comes towards you. And we're not gozer in that case, and maybe you'll come and bring it yourself. The Gemara's assumption over here is that this person is at the end of his tchum. The tchum being the 2,000 amot that he's permitted on Shabbat to walk. He's at the tail end of his 2,000 amot. The animal is beyond the 2,000 amot. So we say you are permitted to call the animal to come to you inside of your tchum so that you could then have it or engage with it, bring it home, whatever you want to do with it. We don't worry about the fact that you might possibly go out of your tchum to go bring it. So over there, we're not goes there out of a fear that if we allow you to engage with the animal, you'll come to do something. So why over here are we worried about you cooling off the animal? So if you engage with the animal, now we're afraid that you're going to get involved with the crushing of medicines? The basic theme is, are we goes there when you engage with an animal up to the possibility that you might violate the Shabbat? Over here, it's dealing with chum. Over there, it's dealing with medicine. Do we say when you engage, we're afraid of what the outcome might be? Amar Ravina, Kagon. It has to be where we're talking about both of them are in the same tchum. Meaning that your tchum and the animal's tchum overlap. So the animal is not outside of your tchum. So then what's the problem? If the animal's not outside of your tchum, what's the problem? The problem is that the animal's at the tail end of its tchum. So the animal, technically, what you're doing now is encouraging the animal to go out of its own tchum. Are you allowed to do that? Are you allowed to engage the animal to bring it outside of its tchum? And the answer will be, yes, that you're allowed to do that. You're allowed to engage the animal to move outside of its own tchum, as long as you're within your tchum. But once you've done that, you've avoided the question now, because you're not outside of your tchum at this point in time. There's no gzeira otu. There's no fear that you're going to leave the tchum to engage the animal, because you're still within your tchum then, and the animal's within your tchum. So that won't be a problem. Just a note over here, Rashi mentions before why you're allowed to encourage the animal to leave its tchum. If tchum is a din in Shabbat, why are you allowed to encourage the animal to leave its own tchum? So first of all, the setup is where the animal is with the shepherd, and so the animal then gains its tchum like the shepherd, because he becomes like the property of the shepherd. And your possessions have the same tchum as you. Wherever you are, all your possessions have the same tchum that wherever you are. Technically, if it's your animal, it should have your tchum. So what's the question of it having a different tchum? The answer is that you gave it over to be watched by a ro'eh. Therefore, the animal took on the tchum of the ro'eh, because he becomes, quote-unquote, the possession of the ro'eh at that time. That's how you have a different tchum. Why are you allowed to encourage it to leave its tchum? Rashi says over here, "Delo huzharhu al tchum behem to, vajshlei v'enema mash biyadav." As long as you don't physically carry it out from its tchum, you are not commanded to watch over your animal's tchum. You have to watch that your animal rests on Shabbos. You have to watch that it doesn't carry. You can't drive your animal on Shabbat with a load on it. But there's no restriction against you taking your animal outside of the tchum as long as you don't do it by hand. You don't physically walk it out. Nachman Yitzchak Amar Shkikat Simanim Gufa Tanahi. It says the whole zera about medicines, that is a machloket Tanaim, the Tanya. An animal that ate karshinim, ate these oats, this food that is ro'oi for animals, and ate a lot. And now in order to resolve the issue of it eating a lot, it has to relieve itself. So lo yirit seno b'chatzer b'shvil shetitrafe. You can't run it around the courtyard in order to loosen it up so that it will relieve itself. B'oshia matir. B'oshia says that's fine. Darsh rabba alocha ki raboshia. That the alocha is like raboshia or Rabbi Yoshaya, depending on which girsa you have here. So the issue of whether we are gozer b'shum shchikat manmanim with animals, that is even a machloket tanaim. It's not so clear that we're always gozer. And if that's the case, then you don't even have to reconcile with the braita. You can have two different opinions. You can have a tano who says it's problematic, and you can have a tano who says it's not problematic. It's not necessary, therefore, to engage or to reconcile between the two of them. All right, next part of the Gemara. Mar, lo yitzei azab b'kish shelo. Vloizim bikish shibidayim. The zav cannot go out his cover, his cup. Vloizim bikish shibidayim, and not the goats with the pocket or the cover for their udders. Batan, you have a bright that you'll tzotizim bikish shibidayim. A bright that says they're allowed to go out. That's not a problem. It depends on if it's tied on tightly or not tied on tightly. If it's tied on tightly, that's fine, because we're not fearful that it'll fall off and you'll come to carry it. If it's not tightly tied on, then we're afraid it'll fall away and you'll come to carry it in the Rishut Rabim. Yosef Meir, T'nai Shekal T'mi Alma, I don't understand what you're doing here. You took two braitot and you feel like a necessity to reconcile between two braitot. Why can't you just say that it's a machloket Tanaim? Why are you compelled to take two different braitot and say, oh, we have to make them agree? That's not necessarily true. T'nai, it's a machloket Tanaim. We had it in our Mishnah. T'nan. Hayizim Yotzotro wrote, that's the Tanakama, Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yossi, Oser Bikuan Chutzmin Arechelot HaKvunot. Rabbi Yossi says that Trorot is Asur. And Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yizim Yotzotro wrote Lo Yabesh, Avalo Lechalev. So we know that it's a Machloket Tanaim. Rabbi Meir says you're allowed to go out, Mehadek, and Rabbi Yossi says you're not allowed. So we can just ascribe the one bright to Rabbi Meir, and the other bright to Rabbi Yossi. Why are you feeling compelled to reconcile them? As Tosfot says, Rabbi Yehuda knew that you could reconcile this way. He felt more comfortable having it be one author, be the author of all these braitot, to deal with the issue. But as Rabbi Yossi says, you're not compelled to do that. Some say, Haba Rabbi Yehuda. They're both Rabbi Yehuda, but Kasha, Kan Yabesh, Kan Lechalev. The difference being to whether you're trying to dry it out, Rabbi Yehuda says it's okay, or in the case where you are trying to preserve the milk, that it's asur. Again, we said before, Rashi says the preserving of the milk here, problem is that it becomes a masui because your milk is going to gather inside of the pocket or the cover, and that's why it's a problem. So Sofot says he doesn't think that's the issue. Says it doesn't make so much sense, because everybody would agree that that's considered to be a masui. Everybody, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yehuda would all agree that if you're capturing the milk, that's called carrying on Shabbat. So they re-perish the Ben-Li Abesh Ben-Li Tavayo Avdelu G'delosh Isritu Dadehen, so that the udders will not get scratched or scraped up. Because when they're full, they hang down lower, and so therefore there is a problem with them getting scratched or ruined on the ground. So that's what he says the problem is. Again, others say that it's to prevent other animals from coming and nursing from this goat, or to allow it to gain heft, or allow the milk to refill. Whatever the reasons are that you would do it, lechalev. Tan yam reviu damase bizim beit antuchia, shayu dadayem gasin, they had very large udders, vasulem kisin kadesh lo yisritu dadayen. And they made them these covers in order that their udders would not get scraped, since they had these very large udders, and they would get scraped or rub against the ground. They covered them in order to protect them, which again is allowed, assuming that you are doing it. Either the yabesh is one, or if you tied it tightly. It was put on tightly where we don't have a fear of it coming off. Tanu banan. Maseh ve'achad shemeita ishto. Benicha ben liyanek. Person, his wife passed away. She was nursing. And now he left him a child who needed to nurse. So before the days of formula, where you needed either the mother or a wet nurse in order to take care of the child before they came into solids. V'lo yelo schar menicha litein. He didn't have money to pay for a wet nurse. V'nasalones, a miracle happened to him. V'niftechu lo dadim, shnei dadei isha. He grew two breasts to feed this child. V'nicha beno, and he was able to nurse his child. Amar Rav Yosef bo rei kama gadol adam zeh. Look how great this person is. V'nasalones kazeh. That a miracle happened to him that he was able to feed his child. Amar lei avaye adarabo. Says the opposite. Kama garu adam zeh. How lowly is this person? Shenishtanu lo sidrei breshit. That God had to change the normal course of nature in order to solve his problem. He had to basically make him into a woman in order to solve his problem. Amar Rav Yehuda borek kama kashim izonotav shel adam. So Rav Yehuda says, well, let's really look at this. Look how difficult it is to make a parnasa. Shenishtanu alav sidrei breshit. It was easier for Hashem to change the course of nature and allow this man to have breast to feed his child than it was to just give him the parnasa to pay for a wet nurse. So Amar Rav Nachman Deida debitrachesh nishav lo yivru mizone. He says, I can prove that to you. Rav Nachman says, we have many gdolim who miracles happened to them. Gemara describes miracles that happened to the Amoraim, whether they split the Yarden, they were miraculous things that happened to them, but they still, nobody ever got the miracle of having their parnasa provided for them. So you see that parnasa is so difficult that even when it comes to people who have miracles transpire or happen for them, it never engages in that area of parnasa. It always happens in other areas. And that shows you or gives you a sense of how difficult it is, number one, to make a parnasa, and how it is to change when there is difficulty in making a parnasa, how difficult that is to change that course. Man married a woman who was missing a part of her arm. And he had no idea of that until the day she died. Look how tznua she was, the humility, the
modesty of
this woman who kept herself covered so that her husband never saw this issue with her. What's so great about the woman? A woman in general is covered and is tznua. Look how tznua this man himself is because he didn't recognize it. I mean that he conducted himself in a way that he didn't know that the woman had it. The woman, that's her natural way to be, especially a woman who's missing her arm. Of course she would cover herself to protect herself and so that people wouldn't know. He was the one that you should compliment over here because he didn't recognize that. Zecharim yotzim lebuvim. Zecharim go out coupled. My lebuvim. Am ravuna tutre. From the word tre, doubled, coupled. My mashmad hai lebuvim lishna dekruvehu. How do you know this word lebuvim means a lashon of being close? Dichtiv libavtani achuti kala. You have heartfelt love for me, my sister, my bride. So the word they're playing on is leiv or libav. So libuvim is heart to heart, meaning that they are close by, they're attached together. Ulamar or shekoshrim lahem keneged libam. It's an extra piece of skin that they used to tie around their hearts, the hearts of the animal. Kadesh lo yiplu alehem zeivim. That the wolves, when they attacked them, they used to attack the heart of the animal. So they used to put on an extra protection around the heart so that the wolves would not be able to gain access or to be able to hurt them there. Wait a minute. The wolves, when they attack the herd, the flock, they only attack the males, not the females? Because here in the Mishnah it says only males are you not allowed to do this. So where it says, Mishum de Maskubaresha Idra. So because the males go in front. They're the ones who walk in front. They're the ones that are going to be attacked by the wolves. And the wolves attack. They only attack the front of the flock. They don't attack the back of the flock. That's not true. Because they're fat. They're fatter. The wolves go after them. Wait a minute. With the females, there are no fat females. There's no heavy females that they would go after. Since when does a wolf differentiate between the male and the female? It doesn't know how to distinguish between males and females. The reason is that the males carry themselves differently. They hold their heads up, their noses up, and they look around. So the wolves take that as a sign that they're poking fun at them, they're looking out for them. So the wolves go after those animals who they feel are engaging with them, that are looking at them. It's actually an extra piece of skin leather that they tie underneath their reproductive organs, to prevent them from impregnating a female. Mimai, how do you know that's the case? Because of the remainder of the Mishnah. The remainder of the Mishnah is talking about the female reproductive systems, which is that the females can go with their tails tied up. What is chuzot? They tie their tails upward in order that the males will impregnate them. They're making them accessible to the males. So you see that the Mishnah is talking about issues of whether it's preventing or encouraging reproduction. It's true later on in the Mishnah too. The reason that you cover or you tie down the females or that she will not become impregnated. So you see all the items in the Mishnah are talking about this issue of reproduction. So therefore, this with buvim is the same thing. They put a skin there to prevent the male from impregnating the female. Reisha kadesh lo yalu alei nechevot. The Reisha is talking about a case to prevent them from impregnating the females. V'seva kadesh yalu aleihem zecharim. Is order to encourage them to impregnate them. My mashal dai shchuzot lishna diglu yehu. How do you know the shchuzot is exposing the female's reproductive organs? Dichtiv, because the pasuk says, v'hine yisha likrato, there's a woman approaching him in Mishlei. Shit zona, she is dressed up as a harlot. Unitzurat leiv, and she is of wily heart. And as Rashi says, shit zona is notrikon de shchuzot. It's a acronym, it's a shortened version of Shchuzot, so that you put it together, that's how you get it. And then Rashi says, Shit over here means Beit HaBoshet, is the woman's reproductive area, but Shit Zonah, she's dressed up like a harlot, which is that she's trying to seduce or encourage the one she is approaching. Now the same thing over here, the Shchuzot is to encourage the reproduction with the female. Okay, we'll stop over here.